Thank you for tuning in to the Cerrito House of Worship. It is our hope and belief that God will speak to you through His Word today. He is able to do far more than you could ask or even imagine.
Well, you know, all throughout the year, we celebrate certain days, right? We've got all kinds of reasons that we want to celebrate the 4th of July and New Year's, and you could just go on throughout the year. But if there was one day that we should really celebrate, it is this day. Today is a day that the Lord has made. There you go. I heard that in the background. Just for you, the Lord made it. But what a day, right? If it wasn't for that finished work on the cross, why should we be sitting here? So we thank God for that. So as the servants come out and give you the elements, I'm going to read something out of the Bible, but just know that as they pass out the elements, they are in two little cups, and they are sometimes hard to take apart, but I'm sure you'll figure it out. But the bread is on the bottom one, and the juice is on the top. And after we get done with that, if you guys would pass the empty cups to the sides, and somebody will pick them up for you. On other Sundays, we always have communion in the back. Every Sunday, there's an opportunity for you guys to get back there, whether it's on your own or take your family, take your friends, and you can do your own personal communion time. And so just know that that's available to you every week. So I'm going to read as they pass out the elements. This is right before Jesus gets arrested during the Last Supper. And Jesus is praying. You would think that with all the things that he's got on his mind and on his heart, his biggest concern was for those that were he was leaving behind. His biggest concern was for not only his disciples, but as I read here, this is for us today. He's praying for those that would come at a later time. And so this is Jesus' prayer. And he says, "My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me. Through their message, through the disciples' message, that all of them may be one. Father, just as you are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one, I in them and you in me, so that they may be brought to complete unity." Isn't that what we're all yearning for? That we are one church body, no Baptists, no Lutherans, no non-denominationals, that the body of Christ would be one. Okay. "Then the world will know that you sent me, and I have loved them even as you have loved me. Father, I want those that you have given me to be with me where I am." Isn't that a good thing to look forward to? One day, because you believed in him, we will once again be with him. "And to see my glory, the glory you have given me because you loved me. Before the creation of the world, you loved me. Righteous Father, though the world does not know you, I know you, and they know you, that you have sent me. I have made you known to them and will continue to make you known in order that the love you have for me may be in them and that I myself may be in them." What a great thing to look at, right? Jesus is right here. He left his Holy Spirit to be within us. He is right here. He didn't leave us. He finished his work on that cross, but he left us himself here so we'd never be alone. So I think, there we go. Well, on that night that was part of this prayer, you know, as Jesus was with his disciples, the word says that after he had given thanks, that he lifted the bread and he broke that bread and he told his disciples that, take this bread. This was, and this is a symbol of Jesus' broken body. And I know we've all are aware of how, what that body went through. And it was broken, it was torn apart. And he went through that for his broken body so that you and I could be whole. Today we can be whole because of what he did. So please take the bread. And in the same way, it says that he took the cup, and this was a symbol. This is a symbol of the blood that he shed on that cross. From the time that they put that crown of thorns on his head to the time that they put the nails on his hands and his feet and that spear that finally went through his body, every little drop of blood that he could ever shed was shed for you and me, that our sins would be forgiven. So please take the cup. And please stand with me as we pray. Father God, I thank you for that, the cross, Lord. I thank you, Lord, that you have equipped us, Lord, to follow you, Lord, that we would take up your cross, Lord. I thank you, Lord, for life eternal, Lord, that one day, regardless of what goes on in this world of ours, Lord, we can look forward to you. We can look forward to being with you, Lord, where there is no more pain, no more tears. Lord, we yearn to be with you, Lord. But as we're here, Lord, give us direction. Show us, as you were praying, Lord, for those at the Last Supper, Lord, as you prayed for them, you knew that we would be here, Lord, that we would spread your message. Let us tell people about you, Lord. Give us the heart. Give us the wisdom, Lord, to know how to minister to others, Lord. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.
You know, we have a blessing, a major blessing and a gift, right? That's what we celebrate today, is the resurrection of Jesus. But when he came back, he gave us the gift of the Holy Spirit, which is really the greatest gift, right? Yay. Think, before him taking our sins and just washing them clean, it was this constant like ritual, right? Of having to like go and let a priest do all of these things for you, and you know, sacrifices and all of this stuff. And when he went to the cross, he did such an amazing thing in that he washed it all and covered it and then allowed us to come to him one-on-one. Woo! See, woo! It's the biggest blessing that we could have received.
Amen.
Because it is a relationship. It is more than just a religion. It's more than just a holiday. It's more than any of that. It is a father who will speak to you one-on-one on a regular basis when you go after him.
Yes.
It's a powerful thing.
Hello.
just going back to the first song, there's a part in it that talks about, and I won't be quiet. Because our God is alive. And that's the thing is, all across the world, right? People will celebrate this day when Jesus resurrected. But sometimes we're so quiet, right? And that's the thing is, God knows exactly what's going on in our lives all the time. And all you have to do is go after him. But it's a gift. That's what we're celebrating today, is the gift that we've been given in being able to go to him one-on-one, in Jesus overcoming death and paying the price that we might be free. Isn't that an amazing thing? We're so quiet this morning. And that's the thing is, I'm so excited and I feel like we've gotten so quiet, right? But that's the thing is, today is a day we should rejoice. Today is a day we should be excited, because just like this song says, blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Praising my risen King and Savior, right? That's the thing is, worship can be so powerful because it is just a time of freedom with God, right? And that's what we're worshiping and we're praising this morning, because of what he's done in our lives. And it is a gift. It's an amazing thing that we've been given. And that is why we have a reason to celebrate. Whew. It's powerful. It really is. And it doesn't matter. That's the thing. It doesn't matter when we get into ruts and in the mundane, because God's still full force going after us all the time, because he loves us, because he wants us. The times we get used to falling into routines and thinking, okay, like, I'm just going to go to church today and I have this the next day and I have that. When we do that, he's still going after us. He's still saying, I got so much more that I want to place in your life. So much more that I want to give you. When we think that we got it all, he's got even more. That's the thing, is he thinks so far beyond and past what we could ever ask or think. Ooh, it's an awesome thing. So this morning, as we go back into this, I want to go back into verse 1. And I just want to encourage you, just enjoy the gift we've been given. You got your prayer language, use it. Speak to God. If you just spend time with him, just enjoy what we've been given this morning, what we're here for. Yes. Hallelujah.
I wanted to share a Bible verse with you guys today. Sorry, I'm a bit emotional, but it's John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have an eternal life. God did that because he loved you all, and he wants you all to go to heaven with him and not go to hell. He loves you all, and he wants you to be with him in paradise for eternity.
Out of the mouth of babes. Right? Praise God. So lately the Lord's been having me watch a certain pastor, and he's been preaching on the blood of Jesus Christ. We all know that the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us as white as snow. That is what he does. And we just need to submit to him. Submission. Just love him, because he loved us. He first loved us before we were even in our mother's womb. But what I came here to share with you about this pastor, he was preaching on the blood of Jesus Christ. We all know what Jesus did on the cross, but do you realize that it didn't begin there? The blood of Jesus was shed in the Garden of Gethsemane, because when he was there praying, biologically, this has been proven by university, that when you're in such agony and stress, the highest magnitude of stress, the body has been proven to sweat blood. That's what Jesus did for us. in the Garden of Gethsemane. That was the first drop of blood that hit the earth for us, the sacrifice of his blood. Yes, he took it, the cat of nine. I can't even talk about it. But yes, we all know that he had wounds on his back. They stripped his back, all the skin removed, nails in his hands, nails in his feet. But it began at the garden when he sweat blood for us. We are so blessed that we have a God that we serve, that served us. He gave his body for us so that we, just as this beautiful child said, just so that we could have eternal life with him and that we would be forgiven of our sins, that he knew he had to do this for us. So I just wanted to share that about the garden and that that was the first blood that was shed by our Savior. God bless you.
Good morning, everybody. Hey, hallelujah. Whose idea was to get here at 8 o'clock, man? Come on. Praise God. Hallelujah. As Brosie and I were leaving at, I guess it was 5:30, I guess. You guys got to be grateful for this, because at 5:30 this morning, I think the ABC Church was doing the Cowboy Church sunrise service there in Elephant Head. So as we were leaving, there was a lot of cars rolling out going towards that service this morning. So be blessed and feel blessed, because you were started at 8 and not at 6. Amen. Come on. Praise God. Hallelujah. How many of you are glad for what Jesus has done for you this morning? Amen. Are you glad that he washed you and cleansed you? Do you know that you're clean? Do you know that when he did it, he did it forever? Can you say amen to that? Oh, you got to get this. He did it forever. That blood washed your sins away forever. Can you say amen to that? Hallelujah. All that he went through. You know, Jesus, I mean, he went through a lot. Jesus did not have it easy. Can you say amen? And we're not just talking about when they arrested him and or before when he was in the garden. I mean, he was rejected and rejected and talked about by the people. How many know that? He was a man. The scripture says he was rejected of men. The people that should have been grabbing a hold of him rejected him. And yet there were people that allowed their hearts to be touched by him and they received him. Can you say amen to that? It had to be a shock to them, wouldn't you say? It had to be a shock to them to see him. They said, no, he's going to get out of this. He's the Son of God. He's arrested. Yeah, he'll be okay. He's the Son of God. They're going to crucify him. No, he'll be okay. He's the Son of God. Can you imagine? Because the scriptures say that they didn't really know, didn't realize what he was going to do for us. Can you say amen to that? I think one scripture, it says, if the princes of this world had known what he was going to do, they would have never slain him. Can you say that? Remember that scripture? The princes of this world did not know that he was going to cleanse a generation of people. Can you say amen to that? From the beginning, the Bible says, from the beginning of creation, even before the foundation of the earth, there was a cross there. The idea and the intent of God was to, he knew what was going to happen on this planet. Do you know that? He knew that you were going to drop your pan this morning in your kitchen. Is that okay? He knew. He knows everything. He doesn't miss a thing. And he knows what, you know, when we mess up and when we stumble a little bit and we do what's not right, he knows it. And those things have already been washed, because when he died on that cross, he knew you. And he said, I am going to buy them. I'm going to purchase them. The word of God says the word is redeemed. We've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad that you don't have to perform for God? Can you say amen to that? Amen. I found a little struggle this morning trying to play the guitar, but that's okay. I don't have to perform. All I do is play from my heart. If I can get myself to calm down, is that okay? Just calm down. Quit tightening up. I'm playing, I'm going, quit tightening up, whatever, you know?
Relax.
relax, rest. Is that right? God gives us rest. Amen? Come on. Hallelujah. I'm thankful for the cross this morning. This morning, I don't know, did you look at your bulletin? Anybody look at their bulletins? Does anybody read the bulletins? Because we could save a lot of paper if y'all don't. A lot of paper. Did I say paper? Yeah, we could save a lot of paper if you don't read your bulletin. But read your bulletins, amen? Take a look at them, amen? Hey, there's a prayer wall back here. You got a prayer request? Pastor and Stella and myself and Rosie, we'll pray for those, but just put them on there. I forgot where I was going. Thank you. Yeah, look at your bulletin, man. It says rock and a rock. How many say amen to that? Do you know that? I think if you would put the scripture up there, I think it's Mark, the scripture in Mark. Can you put that up there, Terry? Did I give you a scripture in Mark? No, I'm sorry. Yeah, well, you know what? 8 o'clock is too early for me, bro. No, praise God. Didn't know you were going to come to church like this, did you? Mm-hmm. I really do, I've got a scripture. I've got all sorts of stuff. Got my wife's notes. Looks like we need some, groceries. Praise God. Well, I'll just find it. Hallelujah. Hey, look at your neighbor and say, rock in a rock. Rock in a rock. I'm going to find the scripture for you because it's... Mark chapter 15, verse 46. We can put that up there. Joseph of Arimathea, he was a follower of Jesus. He believed that Jesus was who he said he was. And so he went to go ask Pilate if, hey, can I get the body of Jesus? And Pilate didn't know. He says, I don't even know if he's dead yet. And then he asked the centurion. The centurion said, yeah, he died. And so they went ahead and gave Joseph of Arimathea the body of Jesus to bury. And this is what it says. It says, he brought fine linen and took him down and wrapped him in linen and laid him in a sepulcher, which was hewn out of a what?
Rock.
Out of a rock. And rolled a stone under the door of the sepulcher. How many know that Jesus was a rock?
Yeah.
Do you know that? So today we're going to talk about a rock in the rock. There was a rock in the rock, is that right? And it was covered with a rock. Is that a lot of rocks in this thing? Can I tell you that? Can I tell you one of the firmest foundations that we can find is a rock? Can you say amen? If you build a house on a rock, you got a good foundation. Can you say amen to that? You know, they put, I think they're cables that they put in the concrete and they tighten them up real tight when they build a house. And these cables are to put tension in the concrete so that it doesn't crack. Is that okay? But you don't need to do that on a rock. Amen? You can, if you got a house built on a rock, man, it's a firm foundation. Can you say amen to that? Oh, hallelujah. And I just want to say this before we start this, because I'm going to read the story of the resurrection just a little bit. And then I'll talk to you a little bit, but the world today seems to be pulling away from the gospel of Christ. How many say amen? There's a lot of stuff out there, a lot of stuff they're talking, they're teaching, and they're leaving the Holy Ghost out of most of it. Can you say amen to that? Because the Holy Ghost will convict you. People don't like getting convicted. How many say amen to that? Yeah, come on. Everybody say, yeah, come on, man, we need conviction. Yeah. Yeah, see, folks don't get too excited about that, do they? I didn't see y'all get too excited about getting convicted by the Holy Ghost. But I'm going to tell you something. I love getting convicted by the Holy Ghost. I like for him to talk to me and say, hey, man, this is what you're doing. Let me help you so you don't do that no more. I said, ooh, yeah, okay, God. Wow. Because let me tell you something. Just like Pastor John read, we have a goal. The goal is to be like him in unity. Can you say amen to that? Not just in this house, but the whole body of Christ on the earth needs to be in unity. How are we going to do that if we're constantly be taught by the thoughts of men? We need the Holy Ghost. Can you say amen to that? And people don't want the Holy Ghost. Why? Because, well, he gets on me a lot. Well, yeah, you need to be getting on. Amen? Hallelujah. I don't even know why I'm talking to you like this morning, but it's Resurrection Sunday. Can you say amen? Amen. How many of you know that you are new? You're brand new when Jesus paid for you. You believed, you became a new creation right then. How many of you say amen to that? The trouble is with new creations, they don't get them. Oh man, I'm getting deep into my sermon, and I am not even supposed to be there, but I know this morning that God has wanted to talk to us this morning. There is a maturity in the body of Christ God's looking for. Can you say amen to that? Knowing that you have to put away those things that are contrary to the gospel. Put away those things that are distracting you from what God would have you to do. Can you say amen to that? And it's not all about religion. It's not all about church and what church is doing. It is about how you're living your life. It's about your business. It's about how you treat people. This is the gospel of Christ. This is the gospel of the kingdom that God's bringing into the earth. Hallelujah. Are you ready for it? I hope you are. Hallelujah. Because the way you get ready is by listening to his voice and not so much men's voice. Yes. Can you say amen? Amen. Yeah. What? Amen. Oh, okay. I thought I heard an amen in there. Praise God. Let me go through this. Praise God. John chapter 20. Let's look at this. I mean, I really sense the Holy Spirit is pushing and pushing. How many like to be pushed? No, don't push me, man. You're going to get some trouble if you push me. Amen? The Holy Ghost is pushing. He's pushing. He says, like, I'm looking for some maturity. I'm looking for some things that you might not be looking at. All right? Praise God. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word this morning. God, I ask you, Lord, that you would, by your Spirit, touch our hearts, Lord, as we read the account. Of that morning, that bright morning, when you came out of the grave, Father. Father, we thank you for it and we praise you for it, God. If you agree, say amen. 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 The first day of the week, this is starting at verse 1, it says, on the first day of the week came Mary Magdalene early when it was yet dark under the sepulchre, and she sees the stone taken away from the sepulchre. And she ran and comes to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved and saith to them, they have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they have laid him. What? Peter therefore went forth, and that other disciple came to the sepulchre. So they ran together, and the other disciple did outrun Peter and came first to the sepulchre. And he, stooping down, looking in, saw the linen clothes lying, yet went he not in. Then comes Simon Peter following him and went into the sepulchre and see the linen clothes lying and the napkin that was about his head lying about the linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself. Then went in also the other disciple, which came first to the sepulchre, and he saw and believed. For as yet they knew not the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. Remember, Jesus was telling them, I'm going to be crucified, and I'm going to be placed in the hands of the Romans or of the heathen, or if you want, and they're going to crucify me, but on the third day I'm going to rise again. And it's funny that the scripture says they did not know that. See, they were listening. Can you say amen to that? How many of you know it's important that we listen? Listen. Oh, I won't do that. Yeah, I know what you're saying. Listen. Give ear to what's being spoken. Folks, it is a time that now's the day. I've only lived 23 years in this earth. Yeah. Liar. Yeah. But I see today that things are so different than when I was a kid. Amen.
there is violence and all these other things. So if I know anything, now's the time to be listening. But not so much listening to all the voices that are out there. There's one voice you need to listen to. Can you say amen to that? Only one voice. Only one voice. And his name is Jesus. He speaks to you by the Holy Ghost. Can you say amen to that? Ooh, hallelujah. For as yet they knew not the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. Then the disciples went away again to their own home. But Mary stood outside the sepulcher weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulcher and seeth two angels in white sitting, one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had laid. And Brother Steve Allen had told, we were talking about this one time, and he told me, he says, hey, Matt, doesn't that picture the mercy seat? How many of you guys know what the mercy seat is in the Old Testament? Where they had two angels, one, both their faces looking at the mercy seat, and they had one on each side of the angel, and their wings touched, and they looked at the mercy seat. And when they saw the blood, they would declare blessing over Israel. But when they saw no blood, they could see the broken, all the stuff that was inside the Ark of the Testimony. You remember that? They had bread that the people had rejected. They had the rod of Moses that the people had rejected. And they had something else. And then what was that other thing? The Ten Commandments. They had the Ten Commandments sitting inside the Ark of the Testimony. And on the top was the mercy seat, and the mercy seat was where they placed the blood. So here you see these two angels sitting on the right hand, on the left, where Jesus had laid. And it's got a beautiful picture of the mercy seat because Jesus was done. He did what he needed to do. Can you say amen to that? Oh, I get excited about it because the blood, Jesus, oh, we're not there yet, are we? Praise God. Calm down. Don't get excited. Amen? Hallelujah. Mary stood outside the sepulcher weeping, and as she wept, she stooped down, looked in the sepulcher, and saw two angels in white sitting, one at the head, another at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. And they said to her, woman, why weepest thou? She said unto them, because they've taken away my Lord, and I know not where they've laid him. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing and knew not that it was Jesus. Jesus said unto the woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? And she, supposing him to be the gardener, said unto him, sir, if you have borne him from here, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away. Jesus said to him, Mary. I mean, I know, how many of you know that when God talks to you, there's a certain way he'll say something to you, and you know it's him. Can you say amen to that? You just know his voice. I mean, folks, you better get into where you know his voice. I heard a preacher tell me, no, didn't tell me he was, I heard, it was just on a message he was saying. He said, he's never heard God speak to him. I said, you got to be kidding me. This is a preacher. This is a man of God. I've never heard Jesus speak to me. Well, you see, Jesus says, my sheep know my voice. Can you say amen to that? So, hey, I know that God speaks. I know it. Do you know that he speaks? Is he speaking to, oh, you know when he speaks to you. And when he said, Mary, Mary, oh my, I know who that is. Come on. He said, Mary, and she turned herself and said to him, Rabboni, meaning, which is to mean master. Jesus said to her, touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren and say to them, I ascend to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. See, Jesus had not yet ascended. Why did he have to go into the heavenlies? What was he going to do? He was taking his blood to where the real ark of the testimony of what he did was sitting in heaven. That's the place that he went. And he went and presented himself. John the Revelator said this. He goes, and I heard a voice in heaven saying, "Who is worthy to open the seals? Who is worthy?" And he said, "Nobody was worthy." So he said, "I began to cry and weep much." And he said, and the angel stopped me and he says, "Look, behold, the Lamb that was slain, he will open the seals." Do you know what those seals are, folks? You know what the seals are? They're not those kind of seals. Amen? Yeah, got you out of your mode there a little bit. No, see, there's not those kind of seals. Do you know what the seals are? It's the things that was keeping us from realizing who God is. It's revelation. The seals that he opens to you in the word are things that are hidden. Because you see, the kingdom of God is full of hidden treasures. Can you say amen? And they're in his word. And he wants to reveal these things, these hidden mysteries to you. That's what those seals were. Who was able to open them? Only Jesus. And he got there and he poured his blood on the sacrificial altar that God had made in the heavens, not made with human hands. Told her, "Touch me not. I ascend," and this, I love this part, "to my Father," and now there's a whole different story, "and your Father. Every one of your Father. Because he paid for you. Anyone that will believe, he paid for you." Do you understand that? Do you get it? "To my God," he said, "and to your God." Aren't you glad you got a God? How many like the movie Aladdin? Anybody? Nobody like the movie Aladdin? I like the movie Aladdin. I thought it was cool. Yeah. What do you want? Amen? That genie was cool, man. I mean, I like that. Phenomenal. Cosmic power. Little bitty living space. Right? You see, God is not a genie, but he is on your side. And he does for you what you wouldn't even know to ask for. Do you know that? He does more for you than you can even imagine. You're just focused on what's going on right now. But God has a bigger focus on who you are and what you're going through and why you're going through it, because he's taking you someplace. Can you say, I mean, there's people that say, well, our God doesn't do that to me. He wouldn't do that to him. Yeah, well, would he do it to Jesus? He took his only son and gave him on a cross for us. And we cry because we have a headache. Come on, man. Everything you go through is ordained by God. The word of God says your steps are ordered by the Lord. Do you understand that? He has said, go this way. He has said, this is going to happen. It's him. Some folks will say, oh, well, no. When my brother died, I was mad at God. But he spoke to me in my living room. He said, "Henry, do you trust me?" And when I heard those words, it melted me within. All the anger that I had because he didn't do what I wanted him to do was to heal my brother. All that anger just rolled out. And I said, "You're right. You're in control." See, there was something that I had to learn, and I learned it well. I learned that before he called me to be this pastor of this church. I needed to learn some of that. Can you say amen to that? I will tell you, everything you're going through, there's a reason. He's doing it for a reason. He's allowing you to go through it for a reason, because he has a bigger plan. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord and that he had spoken these things to her. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, and the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, and then came Jesus and stood in the midst and said to them, "Peace be unto you." I love it. They're scared of the Jews. Wait a minute. Watch what's going to happen now. Yeah. Boom. The Lord walks in. Can you say amen? They hadn't seen him yet. They hadn't quite understood the resurrection. So in he walks. First thing he needs to tell them is, hey, peace to you guys. All right, it's me. Is that right? Is that okay? Would that freak you out? If I was one of them, I would. Now I'm saying, come to my house, Lord. Come on in. He's already here. Come on in. Peace be to you, he said. And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were his disciples glad. And when they saw the Lord, then said Jesus again, peace be to you. As my Father has sent me, even so I send you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Ghost. I push on this a lot. I push on the need for the Holy Spirit in your life. If you haven't received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, if you haven't received him in a way that is overflowing in your life, and let me just say this to you, you need the Holy Ghost. Because I'll show you that in just a second. Hallelujah. He said to them, receive the Holy Ghost. And then he said one of these difficult treasures of Scripture. And he says this, whosoever sin you remit, they are remitted. And then he says, and whosoever sins you retain, they are retained. That's one of them scriptures you go, what are you talking about, God? And I get it. I get this. As a pastor, I really get this. But I'm gonna save you that teaching series. Is that okay? Because it really is a series to understand what he's saying. It really is line upon line, here a little, there a little, scripture upon scripture to build what he's saying in this scripture. Because otherwise, we can blow it all sorts of ways. I've heard it all sorts of ways. And the Holy Spirit, finally, when I said, Lord, you need to show me what this means. Finally, out of years, he says, it's simple. And it all has to do with the Holy Ghost. Everything has to do with the Holy Spirit. Can you say amen? Amen. All right. So I'm going to move on. But Thomas, one of the 12, said, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples said to him, we have seen the Lord. But he said to him, I remember a friend of mine saying this, kind of like this. He said, except I will see in his hands the print of the nails and put my finger in the print of the nails and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. I had a friend tell me, man, I don't believe that. He'd have to come right to me and talk to me personally before I believe. I said, bro, he lives in me. He's giving me words for you, bro. I don't believe it. Okay, it's okay. After 8 days again, the disciples were within and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, peace be to you. Then say it. He to Thomas, reach here your finger and behold my hands. Reach hither thy hand and thrust it into my side. And he says this, be not faithless, but believing. How many believe God? Any hands in here that says, I believe God? God says, I see those hands. Some of you didn't put up your hand, that's okay. God didn't see it either. Yeah, I'm just kidding. How many believe God? And then he says, Thomas answered and said to him, my Lord and my God. And Jesus said to him, Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet believed. And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. And that believing you might have life through his name. Can you say amen? Amen. Believing. Jesus says this, blessed are they that have not seen and yet they believe. Can I tell you, that's us. How many of you know, I don't know, maybe some of you may have, somebody, but has Jesus come and showed you his wounds? Has he come to you and opened it? But yet you believe, is that right? You believe in the gospel of Jesus Christ. You see, I just want to point one little item here. He says, blessed are they that believe. Do you hear me? You are blessed. Amen. You're blessed. You cannot be cursed. You're blessed. The devil has nothing to do with you because God has already declared, blessed are they that believe. I get a little frustrated, to tell you the most, because of folks that are always talking about the devil and what he's doing. I will tell you, he's got nothing to do with the body of Christ. He was a defeated foe. And he shouldn't even be in our conversations. What you would call the devil fighting you is probably your own self fighting you. Now, let me tell you, I'm not saying that there's not powers and things out there, but they have nothing to do with you. Jesus said it simply, anyone that believes are blessed. You're just blessed. That's a great position to be in. It's a beautiful position to be in. Beautiful position. Does anybody remember what we talked about beautiful last 2 weeks ago? Beautiful. It's a word that comes from where we get the word hora, day, time. The word beautiful actually means at a perfect time. Isn't that cool? It just doesn't make sense. Why would beautiful mean a perfect time? I don't know. But that's what it means. It means a perfect place, a perfect time. Can I just say this to you once again? You are in a perfect place and a perfect time. God's timing is always correct, and he is always with you. So when you're walking, you think that he's not with you. Oh, he's with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Can you say amen to that? Hallelujah. Blessed are they that believe. But Jesus said this for this reason. John says, we wrote this so that you might know that Jesus is the Son of God. Jesus told Nicodemus in John chapter 3, verse 7, you must be born again. How many of you have been born again today? Anybody in the house been born again? Be honest. Raise your hand if you've been born again. Hallelujah. Good. All right. All right. Born again. Romans chapter 10, 9 through 13 says this. How can you get born again? Says this. If you shall confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart that God has what? Raised him from what? The dead. All right. Thou shalt be saved. For with the heart, man believes unto righteousness. And with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believes on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between Jew. No, we're going to forget that. We're going to go out and we're not going to keep going there. Confess with your mouth. Believe in your heart. You'll be saved. Is that right? Is that okay? But how do you know it doesn't just stop there? Well, I'm born again. That's okay. I'm okay. I'm good. I did what I need to do, and I can go live my life the way I want to live. Nah, I don't think so. It doesn't work that way. Come on. Jesus paid a big price for you. Yeah. Amen? He didn't buy it. He didn't pay a price to let you out of the corral. So you can go start your own whatever. No. There's a reason. Jesus told them in John 22, he said, receive the Holy Ghost. There's a reason why he said that. And I just want to go over this reason. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says this. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. All things have become new. You see, when it says new, it's basically saying brand new. Brand new. How many know, how many ever seen a brand new person? Eh? Anybody? Yeah. Wah. 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 There you go. Look at, there's one over there. Look at that. Yeah. Brand new person. How many of you know they can't get around, they can't get along on their own? They need food. They need care. Amen. They need instruction. Amen. Tell them, don't poop your diaper. Yeah, they won't listen for a while. Can you say amen to that? Yeah. But they're brand new. Can I say, when you're brand new in the Lord, you know, I mean, it's not nothing about diapers and stuff, but I'll tell you, when you're brand new in the Lord, you got to be instructed. You need some learning. Can you say amen to that? This is why the Holy Ghost is so important, because he wants to teach you and lead you and guide you. Because you're brand new and you got no idea how this kingdom works. Do you say amen to that? All you know is how the earthly thing kingdoms work. God's trying to get his kingdom into you. So you need to know that you need to humbly. Oh, let me see. Where's it at? Hebrews chapter 5, verse 13 says this. Everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, because he's a what? Baby. Is that baby or baby? That's baby. That's babe. All right, babe. It is. You're unskillful in the word of righteousness because you're a babe. But how many know he wants you to grow? James chapter 1, verse 21 says this. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness. Is that okay? Huh? You got that? Lay aside all that stuff. That's talking about your old man. And receive with meekness. Can you say amen? Amen. What does meekness mean? It's like a child, man. You say, yeah. Receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your soul. Let's look at that in the NIV. Pastor John likes the NIV. It says, therefore, get rid of all moral filth. Can you say amen? I would say, amen, come on. Get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent. Can you say amen? Humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. You see, when we take on the word of God, sometimes we take it on like, man, I know it all now. No, you don't. That's not the place to be. There's a humility in taking these words in. There's a humility in knowing that God is strengthening you by his word. He is desiring to take you and build you and strengthen you by his word. But when you take in his word, it's a beautiful thing to take in his word. But when you get proud and haughty about it, come on. It's a whole different story. That's not what God's after. That is probably one of those things, the evil that is so prevalent today is know-it-alls. Everybody's a know-it-all. Can you say amen to that? Everybody, no, everybody, hey, man, but do the know. I had somebody ask me the other day about a certain book. And I said, you know, I'd stay away from that book, sis. And she said to me, she said, it's funny because I was told to read it, but I didn't find it in the biblical section. I found it in another part of the library. It was there. And she goes, and I thought that was strange. And I almost didn't buy it because I felt that was strange. But my friend had told me to read it. But see, that is the Holy Spirit. When you feel it's strange, when you say, it ain't right, there's something wrong. You need to go after that. Say, okay, you know what? I'm going to hold up a minute. Can you say amen? Because God wants to instruct you his way, not Henry's way. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Thank you. Amen. Come on, man. I am just a mouthy. All I can do is tell you what God wants me to say to you. That's all I can do. I can't change your heart. It'd be nice if I could reach in there, wah, rip it out, wah, run it back in there and say, changed, born again, brand new. Can you say amen? Bloody mess. Hallelujah. Change. Received with meekness is a grafted word. John chapter 16, verse 13. The Holy Spirit, you need him because, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. You see that? He wants to guide you there. For he will not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. There's a lot of folks that tell me stuff like, hey, man, the economy's going to crash. I'll ask the Lord. I said, Lord, is the economy going to crash? No answer. Doesn't tell me anything. So I put it off. Well, there's going to be horrific weather this year, whatever. I said, Lord, how's the weather going to happen this year? What's happening, Lord? Doesn't say nothing to me about, so I don't think I got anything to transmit to you. Because like I said, but if he tells me something, folks, you can believe I'm going to be saying it to you. Because I believe that God, see, he called pastors, teachers, evangelists. What are the other ones? Apostles. And there's another one in there. Prophets. Yeah. He called those to speak to the body of Christ. We are not to make ourselves like them. We are to take the words, listen to them. If they're concerning you, take a hold of them. If God says that's not for you, throw it off to the side. Wait for the Lord. Can you say amen? Because this is the position I'm in. Whatever I tell you, if it's not for you, toss it off to the side. But I will tell you, I like this part. I'm responsible for what I say to you. Do you understand that? Do you understand that he has given me a call? That I have to speak what he tells me to speak? If I quit doing that, I am useless to the body of Christ. Can you say amen? I know you guys are getting hungry. You're smelling pancakes, aren't you? We're almost done. Yeah, where's the bacon? You're smelling the bacon. Hallelujah. I'm trying to figure out how to cut another hour out of my message. Yeah, you get it. Just kidding. All right, man. Praise God. John read this morning, but I want you to read John 17, 17. He says he's going to guide you into all truth. And John 17, 17 says this. Jesus is praying for us, and he says, sanctify them through thy truth. Your word is truth. Do not quit reading your Bible. It will show you the foundation that we're talking about. The rock that's within the rock was Jesus. Jesus is the rock. There is no other foundation but this foundation that he has laid. There's the power verse for today is, I lay in Zion. You guys know this song? For a foundation, a stone. I lay in Zion for a foundation, a stone. A tried stone, a precious cornerstone. A sure foundation. He that believes in it will not make haste. You don't have to get excited because you believe in him. You are blessed. Do you understand that? Hallelujah. Listen to this is Jesus' prayer concerning his body. You see, God showed me a vision of this house and what we are and who we are to people. We are a hub. That's why we don't try to keep you here. We don't take membership cards from you. We do what God wants us to do, and we believe that you need to be doing what God wants you to do. You need to be in the house of God that he wants you in. Some of you say, well, this doesn't work very good for a lot of pastors. For to tell you, you better make sure that you, before you leave that other house to come here, you better make sure it's God leading you, not some, I got hurt, so I'm leaving. That does not work in this kingdom. You know how many people are led because they got hurt? They lead themselves out because they got hurt when God never said, I want you to leave. God never told them to get out. But people will leave churches for whatever reasons other than God said, hey, I got something else for you. I want to take you there. This is a nice Resurrection Sunday morning sermon. Didn't you say amen? Come on, yeah, you don't have to say amen. Hallelujah. Like I said, he's going to pick on us a little bit. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. We need to be led by the Holy Ghost, led by the Spirit. Hallelujah. Here's what Jesus prayed for us, and this is what I'm going to end with. This John chapter 17, verses 21 through 23. He's praying to his Father, and he says that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they may also be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And I like this part here, and the glory which you have given me, I have given them. Do you know what that glory is? That is the Holy Ghost. It's his Spirit. The Spirit that you've given me, I've given them. Can you say amen to that? Amen. And that they may be one, even as we are one. I and them, you and me, and that they may be one, made perfect in one, and that the world may know that you have sent me and has loved me and has loved them as you loved me. You see, the Holy Ghost is the whole deal, folks. He is the whole thing about bringing the body into unity. Can you say amen? Because if they're not, if people aren't listening to the Holy Ghost, be careful. Can you say amen? How many of you told your kids before you cross, be careful? I mean, be careful. I will tell you, before you do anything, if they don't know the Lord, if they're not being led by the Spirit, be careful. Can I say amen to you? Can you say amen? You're not being decisive. You're not splitting the body of Christ. Can I say? You're following the word of the Lord. You're following the body of Christ. You're following the Spirit of God. And it's his job to bring the body together. I've worked with people. I've had some folks that have told me, I'm gonna go to the churches. And I'm going to bring the body of Christ together. And I say, folks, that's not your job, bro. That is not your job. God, by his word, as people humbly receive his word, they will automatically, the Holy Ghost will begin to bring them in. Is that okay? Amen. Is that good? That's a good place to be. Hallelujah. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is the foundation of this thing. Can you say amen to that? Amen. No resurrection? What are we doing? Can you say amen to that? Where you been, brother? I missed you all morning, man. Shows up at 10 o'clock. I forgot. Sorry. All right, man. Hey, can we stand? Hallelujah. This is my cheering section. And he's like, where's my cheering section? Where's my cheering section? Been awful quiet in here. Everybody looking at me like, oh, boy. Hallelujah. Father, we just thank you this morning. Thank you for what you're doing, God. We ask you, Lord, that you would continue to build and strengthen the body of Christ. But Lord, as we humbly seek you, we humbly receive your word. Lord, strengthen us by your word. Wash us, Father God. The filthiness of this world, as it gets on our feet, Father, wash us with the pure water of the word, God. We thank you and we praise you, Father. In Jesus' name, if you agree, say amen. And hug somebody's neck. Tell everybody, hi, we love you. Stick around with you.
Thank you for joining us today. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the Word of Christ. We encourage you to keep listening and keep reading the Word of God. You can connect with us at welcometotheshow.org to learn more about our church and how you can get involved. Until next week, God bless.